Blog Talk Radio.
Is that your water?
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, bleed from things taken. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shabbat shalom, 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 everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. We want to welcome you to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Joe B. Israel here with my beautiful Rev, my lovely Rev, Rev Serene Israel. She is going to be bringing forth the wisdom of God. Right?
Right.
So, we are dealing with this afternoon, the wave offering. Why the wave offering? Because the wave offering actually starts tonight. And those of us that keep the Feast of Weeks or the Pentecost or Pentecostal week, we count from here. We count from here. And we count 50 days from this point. Not a day before, not a day after. We count from tonight. Sundown to tomorrow night, sundown, 50 days, 50 nights. And it should land us on the same evening, Saturday evening to Sunday evening. Amen. These are the things that we're dealing with. And why are we calling this the Forgotten Feast? Well, you got to think about all the things we celebrate in God. You know, from Roman Christians and people that say they are Bible students and, you know, Israelites or wherever you come from, all walks. Everybody say we serving God, but we approaching Him in a way that we want to approach Him versus approaching Him the way He want to be approached. Amen? And this is not why we're here. We're here because we believe in this, in the things that He said to do. So if He tells us to approach Him in a manner, then we're supposed to approach Him in a manner that He approve of. Same thing with us, you know, when it comes to certain things, we want to be approached in the same way. You know, you don't want your boss talking to you in a kind of way. You don't want your wife talking to you in a kind of way. You don't want your husband talking to you in any kind of way. And this is that thing. You don't. We don't. So when God says, you know, this is what He want for us, then we have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge that this is something that He chose for us. Amen? So with that being said, we're going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to open up Facebook, and we're going to get started. And remember, this is also called the Wave Offering, the Forgotten Feast of God. And I hate to have to even teach something like this, but it is. It's what it is. People forgot about the most beautifulest thing that Christ did. I mean, yeah, he gave his life. And that was ugly. You know, that was ugly, but he rose. That was the beauty of God. He rose with the glory of God and those things. And we tend to overlook that. You know, we tend to not receive that. So with that being said, brothers and sisters, if I can get my brothers to uncover their head and stand and face Jerusalem, and I can get my sisters to cover their heads and stand and face Jerusalem as we approach the Father. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. And Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them to hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them and give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen. So we are going to invite our family on Facebook. And let's get started.
Hold on. Let's see that. You got me? I'm with Tay.
You ready?
Ready.
Okay. And we want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. We are including our Facebook family on in this program. We are dealing with the wave offering, the Forgotten Feast of God. What is the wave offering? That's the first question. And why is it forgotten? How come we're not participating? You know, from the Christian churches on Sunday, the Catholic churches, they call it the Easter Sunday. Right, the wave offering, they call it Easter. But even they was way off this year. And they celebrate the Easter, the first new moon, the first weekend after the equinox, something like that. Anyway, I ain't into that, to how they're approaching God, because they're not approaching God, they're approaching doctrine. And the other thing is that the wave offering, for those of us that believe in God, as students of the Word of God, the wave offering is huge for us, especially according to salvation. Once again, I want to point out, this is a salvation issue. like the Passover is a salvation issue. A feast of unleavened bread isn't a salvation issue. Not like the Passover. If the Passover don't take place, the feast of unleavened bread don't exist. That's all to it. So, you know, do the math. The wave offering is indicative of the Passover. It's a conjunction of the Passover. What do you mean? If Jesus don't die on the Passover, there is no such thing as a wave offering because he won't be accepted for God, for us. And that's the question. You know, we want to say he died and rose, but he still had to be accepted. And okay. And he still had to be accepted. He still had to be accepted for God, for us, right? Amen. So this is that conversation. And I'm going to say this too. You know, a lot of us wonder about the wave offering and things like that and don't know how to approach it because we don't teach that. We kind of like throw it in as an honorary mention. Wait till you get done with this lesson. We're going to show how we have been misrepresenting the resurrection. And that's a hard, yeah.
The girls are okay. Hold on.
Yeah. So they, you know, we are misrepresenting the wave offering, you know, the resurrection. What do you mean? He's the firstborn of many brothers. He's the wave offering. If the wave offering don't exist, there is no first resurrection. So how are we going to say that there isn't a holy convocation on a wave offering? We're going to show that. In years, don't get me wrong, for years I was at a place and I read the scripture in Matthew 28:1 and John, I think it's 21:1. We're going to look at that. And, you know, a lot of brothers and sisters used to run into this and we all had the same confoundment, right? Why this conversation is 28 and Matthew's at 1 and what this conversation in John 21:1, what that have, I mean, how is this possible and why are we having this conversation? It was seen as it was a conflict, the scriptures, but it's not. What it is that we're not teaching the wave offering. So this here is kind of murky. This is what happened when we ignore the feast of God, you know, or downplay the word of God. Then things like this take place, and people get lost in a shuffle, like myself. And I didn't understand the wave offering until I had to seek it out for myself. I had a brother tell me about it. He said, man, wave offering, this, that, and the other, da-da-da-da-da, but he never sat down with me and went detail with it. I think he sat down with Stearns, and Stearns received it, but as far as him sitting down with me, he never did. But what happened was that I had to set the Pentecost. I had to set the feast. And that's when I ran into the wave offering. And I was shocked. I was like, my mouth was just open. My mouth was open that I couldn't believe what I was reading after researching it. You know, and I said, we'll never miss the wave offering again. God willing, we live. You know, so this is the first scripture that I had an issue with, right? Matthew 28:1. Shalom, Floyd, grace and peace. Matthew 28:1. And when you receive it, read.
Matthew 28:1 reads, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week.
Now, I read that, and I get that because, you know, of this. Daniel chapter 9 and 26.
Amen. Daniel 9.
And 26. When you receive it, read.
Amen. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26 reads, And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off.
That go to Christ. And Daniel was revealed the coming. He was revealed the end of the world and also Jesus Christ and the coming of Jesus Christ, right? That he was going to pay for our sins, right? So Daniel had this understanding. Peace and blessings, Israelite. Grace and peace. Continue.
Amen. Daniel 9:26 reads, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself.
He died for the sins of the world. Continue.
And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary.
The people of the prince was the Roman Empire, and the prince is the devil because he's the god of that empire. Read on.
And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And until the end of the war, desolations are determined.
Continue.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
Well, the midst of the week in all around the world is Wednesday, because Sunday is the first day of the week. So in the midst of the week, he caused the sacrifice and oblations to cease. What do you mean? The veil of the temple rent. So there's no reason for sacrifices anymore, right? And the scripture says that he was going to be in the ground for 3 days and three nights. But how long from here? And in the midst of the week, right? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Three days. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Three nights. Or not, let me rephrase that. Wednesday night, remember now, he had to go in the ground in the middle of the week. So Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He's in the ground 3 nights, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's 3 days. 3 days and three nights. So you got that there. So when I read Matthew chapter 28, on the first day of the week, he rose. That makes sense to me because there he is, 3 days and three nights, right? He was going to spend a fourth day in the tomb of God. He was going to spend a fourth day or a fourth evening in the tomb. That was his prophecy. So prophecy can't be broken. Amen?
Amen.
Go to John 20 and 1. And then read 1. And when you receive the read, because I'm sure a lot of other brothers and sisters ran into the same issue.
Amen. John 21.
Let's keep this in mind. Read on.
The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre.
So wait a minute. We got Mary there on the first day of the week, and we got her there on the Sabbath. He got him rising in Matthew chapter 28 and 1. Well, there you go. Now I'm reading these scriptures, and I'm saying this is a conflict of interest. You can't have one or the other. But like I said, because we're not participating in a wave offering, because we're not teaching a wave offering, and we're not giving this his reverence and his honor, we're missing a lot of information that goes with it. You see, so therefore, we don't give it the gravity that we even supposed to even have a feast day. You know, a lot of us looking at today, tonight, or tomorrow as another week, another weekend. You see, no, it's not. It's the wave offering here. This is what it is, right? Go to Leviticus chapter 23, and let's break those two scriptures down. Matthew 28 and 1 and John 20 and 1. And when you receive it, read.
Leviticus
28, 23 and 1.
23 and verse 1.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Leviticus 23 and 1 reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord,
amen,
which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts.
See, he said, proclaim these are my feasts, even holy convocations. So we teaching people that there's no holy convocation on a wave offering. Oh, you ain't got to keep that feast because there's no priest right now to receive your offering. Then who is Melchizedek again? Yeah, let that marinate for a minute. We're saying that there's no priest to receive our offering, but we want to testify there's a Melchizedek. You know, now we're running into that borderline of super oxymoron, and I ain't the one that like to be looked at as a moron. When I think of morons, I think of things like the Three Stooges, and that don't go well with me. Continue.
Amen. Leviticus 23 and verse 3 reads,
uh-huh.
6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day, the Sabbath of rest for
uh-huh.
you, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings.
Come on.
These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocation, which ye shall proclaim in their season.
Okay, so now we just participated in the Passover, right? Mm-hmm. That's in their in his season, right? And then we had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's in his season. And you got the seventh day, and then you got the wave offering. Well, the seventh day is tonight, and it just happened to be, it coincided with the wave offering. So everything is within a week of unleavened, you know? And some of us would say, because you can't get 3 days and three nights from the middle of the week, you got to go and you got to offer the wave offering the following week so that you can get 3 days and three nights. And I got a big problem with that, because why would you offer the unleavened bread from heaven outside of the unleavened week?
Oh, good question.
I mean, riddle me that. He said, he's the unleavened bread from heaven. He's the Passover. And now he has to be waived, but then we're going to offer him outside of the week of unleavened bread. And then turn around and justify that we're going to count the Pentecost outside of the week of unleavened bread. You know, don't stand a reason. But then again, the same ones that are telling us that is the same one telling us that we don't have to have a feast on a wave offering. You see what I'm saying? We don't even have a holy conversation. We just have a class and then we go home. You know, that day, we don't even have a wave offering speech. We don't even have a wave offering lesson. And for years, these two scriptures was knocking at my head. Like, Matthew 28 and John chapter 20 and 1, they were just there, like, you know, driving. Like, why is the scriptures don't conflict? So what is it going on here, right? So in their season, right? So let's skip down, and let's pick it up in verse 8. Because this is where we are. We at the last night, and we're going into the wave offering at the same time. So with that being said, pick it up at verse 8 and continue.
Leviticus 23 and 8 reads,
mm-hmm.
But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days.
And we've done that because we kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread Sunday night, according to when the moon appeared over Jerusalem for the Abib, which was April the 8th. At 9:00 p.m. Some of us say you got to have a whole day for the moon to justify itself. No, the law said it rules the night. It didn't put a clock on it. And I'm not going to bind the moon with a clock that I exist in that I shouldn't be in. I should be in an eternal clock as well. You see what I'm saying? But however, I'm going to put the moon in my clock. That ain't going to happen. The moon rules the night, you know? So when the moon shows up, it rules. So the new moon appeared over Jerusalem at 9:20 and some minutes. I think 9:28, 9:24, in between there, over Jerusalem, right? So in our hearts and in what we see with the law going forth from Jerusalem, there it is. There it is. So that's where we operate from. You know, you can't go wrong there. But if I skip a day, then I'm saying to myself, well, I can go to work for, let's say I start at 9 or 6, say, this, you know, 7 o'clock, right? I don't show up to 9, but I'm not going to get paid for them 6 hours that I'm there. I wish I would. I wish I would look at my check and say I wasn't there. And the same thing with the moon. I wish you would say it wasn't there. And you're looking at your check and you won't let that ride, but you'll let that ride. Something is eternal. Something that was there before us.
Right.
Right? Continue.
Amen.
Now, remember now, it was the first day of the week in John chapter 21. Matthew 28 said he rose, right? Read on.
Amen. Leviticus 23 and verse 8 reads,
uh-huh.
But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein.
Continue.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest.
See, and this is what we justify the fact why we don't keep the wave offering, because you got to bring it to a priest. Well, who is Jesus? You know, shalom, Doris. How you doing? Grace and peace. Shabbat shalom.
Shalom.
And how are we going to sit up there and justify that? You know, he's the high priest, so now we're going to say we don't have one? Then what's the point of Hebrews? What's the point of even doing lessons about it if he's not this priest, right? So he said, when you come into the land, bring a sheaf of the first fruits, which is the wave offering. Now, it got a label on it. It's the first fruits. Mm-hmm. The wave offering represent the first fruits. Read on. Of the land or the earth. How about that? The land is the earth. So we're talking about the first fruit from the earth. Continue.
Amen. Leviticus 23:7 reads.
Uh-huh.
And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
There go John chapter 20:1. On the morrow after the Sabbath. He rose on the Sabbath day, but here he is. That's what I kept missing because it wasn't taught to me. But now I'm being told, or I have been told, that that's not important. But those two scriptures kept jumping off the page. Matthew 28:1, John chapter 21. What's the problem? I know the scriptures ain't conflicting, and I know it's not a misprint, as some of us would teach. I don't believe in those things. But the Passover to me is accurate, and the wave offering is accurate. So what was the difference? And the Lord showed me right here, you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath shall the priest wave it. So that Sabbath day, Jesus rose, and as it began to get dawn, toward the first day of the week, there it is. There it is. Here come Jesus. Here come Mary to the tomb. And that's when he said, touch me not, for I have not ascended to my Father. Why? Because he hasn't been weighed.
Amen.
He said, don't touch me.
Amen.
I haven't been weighed. So this is where this came in. And now let's go back to that. Now let's go to Matthew 28. And then we're going to go to 20, and we can see this here play itself out. Matthew 28 and verse 1.
Matthew 28 and verse 1 reads, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher.
Okay, I'll go to John chapter 21. Because it starts at dawn toward the first day of the week. Now, here they come. Everybody understand these laws, man, because they house. They in-house. They know. We finding out in the land of strangers and captivity and all sorts of berserkness. But here we are. We figuring these things out as we going along. We untying knots, right? Read on.
You said go to John 21 and what?
20 and 1.
Oh, go to 21. Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
John 20 and verse 1 reads, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark.
There it is. Now it's dark. It's dark. Now the transition has taken place. It's the first day of the week. Jesus already rose, right? He's been in the ground for 3 days and 3 nights.
Right.
Now here we are. You see that? See that thing? See, that's what I'm saying. This is what happens when we ignore scriptures, ignore feast days, ignore things we miss a lot, right? But we ain't even got to the meat of this. We just trying to skin, you know, get to the point that we need to really reevaluate the things that we are examining.
Amen.
Let me say that. Continue.
Amen. John 20. And verse 2 reads, let's go to 20 and 1 again.
Yeah.
The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it's yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him.
So Now we see that go Matthew chapter 28:1. He rose, wasn't there. But here it is, the first day of the week, and now she don't see him, and we got a conversation here. Where is he? Where did he go? Right? Skip down to verse 20 and let me see if I want to pick it up at 12. Pick it up at 20 and 12.
John 20 and verse 12.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
So both of these conversations, now we can put together 28 and 21, Matthew 28 and 21 with this. Because now we see that it was going into the first day of the week, and we see that he had already rose, right? Because the two angels was there. So this conversation blends right on into that. Read on.
Amen. John 20 and 11 reads, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting,
mm-hmm.
the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain."
Continue.
"And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him."
Continue.
"And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus, and knew not that it was Jesus."
Continue.
"Jesus said unto her."
See, we better be careful with that too, because we don't know when Jesus is standing and talking to us. He'll come and check on you and see where you at, where your head at, right? Read on.
Verse 15, "Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I would take him away."
Continue.
"And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master."
Continue.
"Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God."
See that? He said, "Touch me not."
Amen.
Because he haven't ascended yet, right? But he has to ascend because he has to be weighed. So when he ascended, the two angels was there to take him. That's the other thing. They there. Yes, so they there to take him. Don't think they stuck around so they could talk to Peter. No, they left with him. Just like they were there with him with Abraham. You know, he left them to take care of the business. Well, here they are once again, right? Okay, so he said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father."
Amen.
Why? Because he has to be weighed, right? He has to be weighed.
Amen.
For us,
amen.
Right? This is why he said there's going to be a holy convocation here. So if we're denying the convocation here, we're denying the convocation of the wave offering. We're denying the convocation of the first fruits. Are we listening?
So.
Okay. All right. Let's look at that. He said, "Touch me not, for I go to Revelation chapter 5. Nope. 4.
Revelation 4.
4:1. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's get this thing in. Let's get this idea of what we're looking at. Okay. Revelation 4:1. When you receive it, read.
Revelation 4:1 reads, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as if it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter."
That's an angel. So the Lord is telling us the angels actually sound like a trumpet.
Yeah.
They got the speech of music. All right?
Yeah.
They come with barcodes.
Amen.
Read on.
Amen. Revelation 4:2.
Yes.
"And immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne."
Not two.
"One sat on the throne."
One sat on the throne. Who is this? This is the Father. Who is this that one? That ain't Jesus Christ. Because remember now, he said, "Touch me not, for I have not ascended unto my Father." So what conversation are we reading here?
Amen.
That's that thing. Remember now, we looking at the wave offering. Mm-hmm. All right? So we see one sitting on the throne, right? Read this here. Read that 3, and then we're going to go right into 5.
Revelation 4 and 3 reads,
mm-hmm.
And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald.
Okay, so there he is. That's the Father. I'm going to show you this, the Father. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5 and 1. Because he said one sitting on the throne, right? You can read this. Read Revelations 4 and 5, and you'll see that it's consistent. This is one conversation, but whoever put the genius of scriptures and naming them and the numbers, genius, right? And make it so much easier to articulate the scriptures. But anyway, Revelations 5 and 1, when you receive a read.
Amen. Revelation 5 and 1 reads, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals.
So now we got the one that was sitting on the throne. He got this book in his hand with seven seals on it. Not seals like we see. These seals got fire. They fire. We can't know. You know, this book is on fire. You know, so we can't even touch it. You know, and if we did touch, we'd probably just blow up or disintegrate.
Amen.
You know what I mean? This is why you get all these wild films with curious art. They talk about these books, and when you touch them, you read them, and this, that, and the other. Well, this is one of those books. This is that book that only exists in heaven. He got this book.
Amen.
It got seven seals on it. Each seal represents an appointed time that is going to take place at the end, right? Not dealing with that. What we are dealing with is him sitting on the throne. One sitting on the throne with a book. Read on.
Amen. Revelation 5 and 2 reads, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof.
Continue.
And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon.
So it wasn't no man in heaven, it wasn't no man in earth, neither under the earth was able to open a book, neither to look thereon. Right?
Right.
So
Revelation 5 and 4 reads, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
There it is. Remember now you said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father, right? Continue.
Amen. Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as if it had been slain.
This is the wave offering.
Okay.
You had the Passover already. Here come the wave offering. You still got to offer a lamb without blemish.
Okay.
Because this represents him. He has to be accepted for us.
Amen.
Continue.
Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne.
There it is. So that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Out of the tribe of Judah. Remember, it was one sitting on the throne with a book in his hand. So he, Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, came and took the book from the Father, the one that's in the color emerald, and he took the book from, he didn't take it, he got the book from it. Well, he took the book from it because he got the throne, so he took the book. Right? This book with seven seals on it, and there it is.
Amen.
There it is. He came and took the book. You see, he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended on to my Father. There he is. So if there was no man in heaven, as we read, and if there wasn't no man in earth, as we read, and if there wasn't no man under the earth, as we read, because Christ was all three, then what was he? He was on his way. He was on his way. That's why he said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascending unto my Father. So he was in between here and there. He was on his way. That's when that's that conversation. So it's all, you know, it's bits and pieces here and there, but it's there. It's there, right? So he came, took the book from the Father. But before we get to that, let's look at this conversation play out, because he got to be weighed, right? So let's look at that. Let's go into Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1.
Amen.
In fact, no, I'm sorry. Keep reading. Yeah, keep reading.
I was at Revelation 5.
And 7. Read that 7 again.
Revelation 5. And verse 7 reads, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne.
Continue.
And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints.
Continue.
And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof.
Uh-huh.
For thou wast slain and have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
See that? See that? There it is. So there he is. So now he's the wave offering. He was accepted of the Father. For now thou art worthy to take the book. He been waved.
Amen.
Who waved them? The angels. Why? Because the angels administered the things in heaven. Mm-hmm. Remember now, the temple that Moses built was after the temple in heaven. It was, you know, almost a mirror or something that was very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is. He said, now, he said, the angels waved them, and now he was accepted, and now they singing a new song. Continue.
Amen. Revelation 5 and 10.
No, read that 9 again, because there's something else in there that we need to pick up on.
Revelation 5 and 9 reads again, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
And see, there it is. You know, so now there were that scripture in St. John chapter 3 and 15 that everybody used loosely, you know, for he so loved the world. You know, there it is. There it is. Now his blood is extended beyond Israel to whomsoever will. You see. Continue.
Amen. Verse 10. And has made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Look what else took place. Now he took the book, and he has made us unto our God kings and priests. But he's a king and a priest.
That's right.
So now he's, now by him doing that, he established the priesthood. What priesthood? The Levitical priesthood? No. He established the Melchizedek priesthood, the one that he presented to Abraham, bread and wine. That's the administration we under now. You know, this is why people get caught up, well, you ain't got to have a bread and wine on the Passover. Okay, you can miss me with that one, but we gonna have a feast. On, I ain't never giving that up for nobody. Not as long as I know that he did this.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So he said, and made us unto our God kings and priests, right? Okay, so now the priesthood is established because he was waived. Melchizedek, remember now, the priest of the Most High God, right? He got the book from the Most High God because he's the priest of the Most High God.
Amen.
Like, we got the law from the God of Israel.
Right.
Same conversation. Are we listening? Are we paying attention? You see, this is why, you know, I reiterate, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to keep saying it. Brothers and sisters, read your book from Genesis to Revelation. And if you're teaching the word of God and you have not read your book from Genesis to Revelation, you better leave it alone until you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, take a week or two off and put that book in.
That's
and then come back and teach. Right? You'd be surprised what you run into.
Amen.
And I'm almost certain you're going to run into a lot of things that's contrary to what you've been told.
Oh.
Read on.
Amen. Revelation 5 and 11.
Yes, ma'am.
Revelation 5 and 11 reads,
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands.
Amen.
Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing.
So all the angels start worshiping
yes.
him, right? All the angels, all the angels of heaven worshiped him. Right? Let's keep that in mind. And they sung a new song. Right? Because everything they sing here is a song. You know, they sing on the God. They don't talk to God. They sing on the God. You know, they don't give God suggestions. You know, like I read in that book, that lost book, you know, the angel suggested to God what to do.
What?
You know, that book of Enoch, man, that thing was spirit bending.
Yeah,
it was spirit bending. But anyway, continue.
Amen. Revelation 5 and 13 reads, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are as in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever.
That's why all the beasts of the field is waiting on God.
That's
there's fishes
right.
in the sea.
Yes.
The whales is waiting on God.
Amen.
Continue.
Amen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Revelation 5 and 14 reads, and the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever.
And so we got the
Amen.
we got the 24 elders falling down too.
Yes.
That's 24. That's 12 plus 12 is 24. So there they are, right? And they cast their thrones at his feet, you know. And that's the thrones that they cast at his feet is the same ones he came back in Revelation chapter 9 when he said Revelation chapter 19 when he said he had on many crowns, right? But here he said the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him and live forever. So what are these elders? Because I had questions and I asked my elder, who are these? You know, and I'm sure other elders, brothers asked their elders, well, who are these? You know, and people were, you know, my elder didn't have an answer at the time. Maybe he do now, but I ain't talked to him for a while concerning this matter. But this here, look what the scriptures say. Go to Hebrews chapter 1.
Amen.
Hebrews 1 and 1. When you receive the read, because remember now he came and took the book and all the angels of heaven worshiped him, right? Mm-hmm. Read on.
Hebrews 1 and 1 reads,
uh-huh.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
Continue.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
Mm-hmm.
Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the world.
There it is, right? Now he spoke to us by his Son. Continue.
Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
I thought we saw one in heaven in Revelation chapter 4. Now there's two. He sat down. He sat down, you know, at the right hand of the Lord. You see?
Amen.
This is that thing. Read on. So we see now we got two thrones there. Read on.
Hebrews 1 and 3 read.
We're going to pick that up too.
Oh, we'll go to 4.
Yeah.
Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
He got. Come on, read on.
For unto which of the angels.
He was made like we're supposed to be created. He was already God, but he took his glory back when he came up out the ground. So he had everything to lose by not doing this. You see what I'm saying? So. Now he's telling us that this is the same thing going to take place with us. We're going to put this on. Read on.
Verse 5.
Yeah.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee.
Uh-huh.
And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Continue.
And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him.
And that will be read in Revelations chapter 5 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and so forth, that all the angels in heaven worship him, even the 420 elders. So that lets me know that they're angels. They just not super beings created from no purpose or to purpose or for whatever purpose that we want to consider them in, but no. They're angels. The 420 elders, they're the elders of the angels that's in heaven too. You know, I mean, God got a, you know, a monarchy, I guess we would call that, or establish some protocols. Yeah, he got a protocol for everything, even in heaven. So the angels in heaven got protocols. Some are dispatched to us and some aren't. Some are to sit down at the right hand of God and observe the things that he do, and some are not. Some are not privy to the information that God has, like Satan had, you know, who was once Lucifer. You know, he was privy to the information and tempted God with it, dare I say, right? Read on.
Amen. Let's go to verse 7.
Continue.
Hebrews 1 and 7 reads, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?
Well, we know this is definitely a truth, because the angels are ministers spirits of flame of fire. They don't have a skeleton. You know, you can go and read that Luke, and, you know, for a reason of time. And we're preparing for the wave offering ourselves, you know, later on this evening. We're going to have a feast tonight. Thank God, you know. The angels don't have a skeleton. We got a skeleton. And he testified to that. Even God got a skeleton. God in Christ got skeletons. He said, when he appeared in the Luke, in fact, we're going to read that later. He appeared unto the disciples, said, touch me and feel me. As you can see that, an angel don't have flesh and bone as you see me have. So he got a skeleton, and that's the difference between man and angels, skeletons. Angels are shift changers. You know, they can shift change. You know, they can change their actual physical being. You can't do that with a skeleton. See that? Continue.
Hebrews 1 and 8, but unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever.
That's why he wasn't called an angel. He said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So he was made so much better than the angels. Yeah, because he's God. Thy throne, O God, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Now, you see that? So now he had to be accepted. Remember now, he came and got the book. Hear this conversation taking place with the book. Continue.
Amen. Verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom.
Ain't that what Jacob said? And a scepter shall not depart from Judah? There it is. Because he got it now. It ain't never going to depart from him. He's sitting on the right hand of God forever as the high priest of the Melchizedek priesthood.
Amen.
You see, like I said, I follow that Leviticus priesthood, and it leads right to this. It leads right into the Melchizedek priesthood. Can't go wrong. The Sabbath days with the feasts and all that type of good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Read on.
Amen. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
What do you mean, thy fellows? Because remember now, he said that thou has made us unto our God kings and priests. So he's the high priest, just like Aaron was the high priest. But he was above his fellows. Why? Because he had the other two tribes up under Aaron. Well, he had all three tribes up under Aaron, you know, out of Levi. You see, so he was above his fellows, just like Aaron was. All this is a forerunners of him. You see, so here we are. Here we are. So he took the book from him. Now, he got the book and he blessed them. You see the blessing here? There it is, right? And then he said this, sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, go to Psalms chapter 110 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 110 and verse 1. And when you receive it, read.
Psalms 110 and verse 1 reads, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
After he got that book, he said, now you can sit down on my right hand.
Amen.
Remember, that was 1 in verse 4. It was 1 in 5. You see, it was 1 throne in 5 and 4. He saw one sitting on the throne. He saw one sitting on the throne in verse in chapter 5, but he had a book. Now, no one in heaven was able to prevail or in the earth to prevail to take the book. And then he said, no, the Lion of Judah did. There he is.
Mm-hmm.
There he is. So he said, now sit down at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now you got two thrones there. You see?
Yeah.
Read on.
Amen.
See, this conversation been going on, but it's in bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to pick it up. This is why, you know, the word of God, it said line upon line, here a little, there a little. It's not in chronological order because he told us to seek ye out of the book and live.
Amen.
So if you're not seeking out of the book, you're not going to run into these things.
Amen.
And the sad part is a lot of us aren't seeking out of the book and we ear hustling. And we're repeating things that it's not in the book.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Read on.
Amen. Psalms 110 and verse 2 reads, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies.
Continue.
Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth.
He was 33, right, when he died, but now he's eternal. He got hair like wool and it's white, but he got the dew of his youth.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the express image of the Father, right?
Right.
So let that, what that tell me? The Father sitting up there looking like he 1,000 years old, or he got the dew of his youth? Adam, when you think of Adam when he was created, was he created an infant or was he created a grown man? And then if he was created a grown man, how old was he?
Mm-hmm.
Right? When was Jesus baptized? He was 30, and Adam was the first, right? Adam is the first Adam, and Jesus is the second Adam. That lets me know Adam was an express image of both God and Christ. So whatever Jesus looked like, Adam looked like. That lets me know Adam had to be about 30 years old when he was created. He wasn't in diapers. God wasn't changing Pampers or diapers.
No,
forget Pampers. Pampers is a corporate thing. Diapers, right?
Well,
yeah. Read on.
Amen. Psalms 110 and verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
There it is. So he established the Melchizedek priesthood. You see that? So when he sat down on the right hand of the Father, the Melchizedek priesthood was established because he said, thou is anointed above thy fellows, right?
Amen.
We read that in the New Testament. Let's read it in the law. Psalms chapter 45. In verse, I'm going to say 3. But Psalms 45. And let's pick it up at verse 5.
Amen. Psalms 45 and verse 5 reads,
mm-hmm.
Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemy, whereby the people fall under thee.
Mm-hmm.
Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter.
Mm-hmm.
Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
Continue.
All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad.
See, now this is that thing, man. People will hire you to think, where he get the smell from? Ain't no flowers in heaven. Ain't no flowers. It's fire in heaven. The heaven is on fire. There's no fire. There's no flowers and aloes and all that there. That's here, right? So where did he get this from? And note this, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The one he sat on, right next to him, he told him this throne is forever. The same thing he's going to tell us if he so will. He said, thy throne is forever and ever, right? Mm-hmm. Thy scepter is the right kingdom. He said, as the right scepter, and thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness, therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He's the high priest. That was him that met Abraham, the priest of the Most High God. That's him, right? And then it says this. Read that 8 again, right?
Psalms 45 and 8 reads,
uh-huh.
All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia and out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad.
All right, now go into John chapter 19 and 39. John chapter 19 and 38. Because see, this is why he was smelling like aloes and myrrh, right? See, people snooze on Nicodemus, man, because Nicodemus was meant to meet Jesus at 3. You know, this all this predestination thing is all over the place, even among us, even this day, though we don't want to believe it. But it is, and some of us are predestinated, and some of us have been predestinated on the life, and some of us has been predestinated on death or destruction, you know, like Judas, you know, or John the Baptist. Right? So we could be either one of them. You know, you'd be predestinated on a life or we could be predestinated on the death. And that was that thing. John was born for that. I mean, and Judas was born for that. You see? So here it is. Go to St. John 19 and 38 because people sleep on Nicodemus. Watch this. Read on.
Amen. I will. John 19 and verse 38 reads, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus.
See, that's the thing. He took his body to cover it up. Read on.
And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight, okay. Then took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury.
There you go. There go Nicodemus in Psalms chapter 19, Psalms 45 and verse 8. You know, and little things like that will show you that there's a such thing as predestination. He was predestinated to bring forth this year so that prophecy would play itself out in Psalms chapter 45 and verse 8, that he would be covered in aloes and myrrh. And when he came to the Father smelled it, right? He didn't smell death, but he smelled this, you see. So now we're looking at the Father. Once he received them, he smelt them, right? Where did this come from? Let's look at this a little further. We're gonna go into Genesis, right? Because Isaac was in a place of the Father, right? Mm-hmm. Isaac was in a place of the Father when he blessed Jacob.
Okay.
Listen at this conversation. And
Genesis chapter 27 and verse 26 reads, and his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son.
See, that's what Jesus, that's what he did with Christ. That's what he did with Jesus. That's what the Father said to him. Come now, my son. Mm-hmm. Isaac is here, the Father. You see, so this conversation here. Now, here come Christ, ready to be weighed. And now God is receiving him. He said, come here, my son. Kiss me.
Amen.
Kiss me. That's how he smelled it. You know, that's what we do. Kiss mm-hmm. your children. Mm-hmm. You know. Read on.
Verse 27.
Uh-huh.
And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed.
There it is. What do you mean a field of earth? Aloes and myrrh and things like that. See, right here, Jacob is in the place of Jesus Christ, and Isaac is in the place of the Father. That's why we got the conversation of myrrh and aloes and him smelling like that. Thanks to Nicodemus, who so happened to be a Levite and a priest.
Amen.
Right? Are we listening?
Verse 28.
Continue.
Therefore, God, give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth.
Now, here comes the blessing.
Corn and wine.
See, when he smelled him, he took the book and he blessed him with this. He blessed him. Now you got all of this coming. All of it. Everything. Because he was weighed. He was accepted.
Amen.
He was accepted. Now mind you, remember now, he told Mary not to touch me. Because I have yet to sin on my father. Where Mary at right now? She's still on her way. All this is going on, right? And Mary's on her way telling the other Israelites, you know, Jesus, you know, he spoke with me. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, you know how we can be. But she's like, no, he did. So while she's trying to, you know, convey all of this information, he up here doing it.
Right.
In eternity. This ain't just a little something. This is huge because you got all the angels in heaven singing and they all worshiping him. They throwing gold crowns and all this. The Father throne jumping off clouds and fire, thunder and lightning and rainbow and all this old type of good stuff. And here comes Jesus, man. And he said, you had a smell of the field on you. You had a smell of heaven. You got the smell of the dew of the earth, aloes and myrrh, things like that. That's what Nicodemus had gave to them to cover Jesus in. And who knew that his offering was going to reach the Father? Who knew? Maybe he did. Because he was a Levite. He had the book. And they did say, before, while they was conveying how they were going to kill Jesus, they said one of the Pharisees said, which were the priests, one of them said, one got to die for our sins. So it wasn't like they didn't know. So maybe Nicodemus said, well, I'm going to make sure I get in on this. You know, if I can do this, then just maybe I'm written in the scripts, and there he is. Confirmation. Right? Read on.
Amen. Genesis 27 and verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine.
Uh-huh.
Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Curse be everyone that curses thee and bless be he that blesses thee.
There it is.
Amen.
So he gonna rule the whole planet. And if you ain't with him, you got a problem with the Messiah, you got a problem with Jesus, you got a curse coming. And, you know, I ain't the one that, you know, like to gossip, but that's a serious accusation. That's serious. And it says this, let the people serve thee, let nations bow. Well, who did this to Jacob? Where you get this from? So we ain't talking about Jacob. This is past Jacob. This whole conversation is past Isaac and Jacob. This is the wave offering taking place in heaven. This is the Father receiving his son and kissing him.
Amen.
And smelling the things that Nicodemus blessed him. The priest, right? Just a little further. Go to Psalms 135. Psalms 135. And when you receive it, read.
Psalms 135 and 1?
Yes.
Psalms 135 and 1 reads, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name.
Yes.
For it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure.
Amen. I'm sorry, that's Psalms 132.
That's still
on. It's still, yeah. So it's online. All right, 32 and 8.
And 8.
Yeah.
Psalms 132 and verse 8 reads, arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength.
This is the Sabbath day coming in when he go, when he sit down with the disciples and all of them, you know, I will say those that come up in the first resurrection, right, they're going to be sitting down with him on thrones, kings and priests. So he's talking to them now. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest. This is Revelation chapter 20, right here. Right? Read on.
Amen. Verse 9. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy.
There it is. So the priest is now, he anointed them above his fellows. There they are. They go to priests. They clothed in righteousness. You know, the garments, the white linen that the saints wearing is the righteousness of the saints. There it is. That's the garments of praise the priest had on. You see, so now we see that the Melchizedek priesthood is established in linen. Continue.
Amen. Verse 10 reads, for thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed.
Continue.
The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne.
Continue.
If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore.
Look at here. So now, there it is. So now we're talking about sitting on thrones forever, right? It said, if you teach your children to serve me, they'll get a throne just like I gave them one.
Amen.
Read on.
Verse 13.
For
the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation.
Come on.
This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread.
Mm-hmm.
I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy.
There it is. I'm going to clothe the priest for what?
Salvation. Her priest with salvation.
So ain't no more dying.
Amen.
Ain't no more dying. Not for those that come up in the first resurrection. They in there. They are locked. Amen. That's them. Right here, this is them. This is my rest forever. That's them. That took place on the wave offering, which is tonight. And why we not keep the feast? Considering this, if we want to come up in the first resurrection, if we have any intentions of coming up in the first resurrection, or we have any hope of coming up in the first resurrection, why are we not acknowledging the wave offering? And people will say, well, how can we, and you go ask your teachers, your elders or whatever, you know, why we not keeping the wave offering? Well, we do, we just don't have a holy convocation. And then that's a big why. And that should be the next thing, why? Well, see, it ain't no priest to receive. Okay. Well, what I'm looking at right here, yeah, it's a big time reason for celebration. It's a big time reason because if this don't take place, there is no Pentecost. There is no, I will close her priests with salvation and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Ain't none of that. So the wave offering is huge, man. That's why, and I know I'm not alone with this, but the wave offering is the power of the Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks.
Amen.
So if you don't have a wave offering, you don't have a feast of weeks. So how are you having a feast of weeks without the wave offering? Just thought I'd put that out there. See what I'm saying? So this is that. So now we got the priest clothed with joy, right? Mm-hmm. Let's go into Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Revelation 1 and 6.
Amen.
When you receive it, read.
Revelation 1 and 6 read, "And have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen."
See that? Made us unto our God. There go Mr. Simmons. Shalom, Israelite. He had made us unto our God, kings and priests, forever and ever. That's why he said when in that Psalms 132, he said, "And if your children would keep my commandments, they're going to sit on thrones forever and ever." This comes through the wave offering. If the wave offering don't take place, this don't happen. The wave offering is the first fruits, right? Go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. Revelation 20 and verse, in fact, pick it up in verse 4.
Amen.
Verse 4, when you receive it, read.
Revelation 20 and 4 read.
Come on.
"And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
Come on.
And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
But Psalm said forever and ever, right? But then in Psalms 132, it said, if your children keep my commandments, they're going to sit on these thrones forever. But in the same conversation, he said he going to satisfy the poor with bread, right? So that lets me know it's going to be flesh and blood people here during the reign of Jesus Christ. So there were that 1,000 years right there in that Psalms 132. Listen, and we ain't having no feast on this day. We want to blase it. We want to blase the memorial blowing of the trumpets. We want to blase the Passover. I'm like, all of these feasts point toward the resurrection. What is wrong with this conversation? Read on.
Amen. Revelation 20 and 5 reads,
"Yes, ma'am.
And the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power.
Come on.
But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
There it is. So we're going to, that's that thing he said, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And then Psalm said he was anointed above his brethren. There go the brethren. There go the priesthood being established. The Melchizedek priesthood is established right there. That's what the wave offering represents. And we want to be here and don't know how to get there. It's like, you know, hey, I'm trying to get to this game and I don't have any directions. So what are we talking about? Oh, you don't need no directions, just drive. I mean, as idiotic as that sounds, that's about as idiotic as it sounds. Shalom, Ernie. Shalom, Paul. They go number one. And there is our little brother over there, our little big brother, Paul. Love you, man. You got to talk. We heading your way, both of you. anyway. So now we got this here. So now we see Jesus, man. We see him, and now we got the priest with him here, right? Okay. Now let's go to back to Leviticus chapter 23, right? And let's pick it up at verse 10. 11, Leviticus 23 and 11, because if I'm not mistaken, that's when you start talking about the first fruits, right? Okay, read on.
Leviticus 23 and 11 reads, And he shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you.
Mm-hmm.
On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall weigh it.
We just seen that. We just seen God accept Jesus. He came and took the book. He sat down on the right hand of God. This is this feast day, and we don't acknowledge it. We want to be here. We want to take part in this, and we're not performing it. And it says it's a holy convocation, and we're not there. Something's wrong with this bitch. Read on.
Verse 12.
Yeah.
And ye shall offer that day when ye weigh the sheep and lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord.
Come on.
And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 tenth deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine and the fourth part of a hen. 14. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be in statue forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings.
So when did it stop? Shalom, Jeremy. How you doing, Israelite? Grace and peace, bro. When did it stop? When did we stop keeping the feast in that he said, it shall be a statue forever throughout your generations? When did we stop performing this? And who said we're not to perform this? Who has the authority and the autonomy to say that this feast isn't important enough to keep? I'll wait. Because I just seen God walk before the whole heavens, took the book out of the Father's hand. I seen the Father kiss him. I seen all the angels of God worship him and sing glory unto him. And then I seen the Father say, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, mm-hmm. above your brethren. Mm-hmm. And look, I want you to read this right here. Okay. Yeah, you're still in Leviticus. Right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Leviticus chapter 23:9-10. Right?
Leviticus 23:9-10.
Right. Leviticus 23:9-10. And then we're going to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to close out.
So Leviticus and go back up to 9?
Yeah, actually, we're going to come back to Leviticus. Go up to 9, and when you receive it, read.
Okay. Leviticus verse 9 reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of harvest unto the priest.
See, now, the first fruits. Who's the first fruit? Who is the first fruit? So you present this just like you present the Passover. We say, this is my body. Well, isn't he the first fruit? They say we ain't got to keep this because there's no high priest, but who is Melchizedek?
Right. Good question.
Okay. Go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
1 Corinthians.
15 and verse 23.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 23 reads, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming.
They're gonna wave off. He's the first fruits.
Amen.
And afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. So there he is, right here in 23. He's the wave offering. He's the first fruits, right? Go back to Leviticus chapter 23. Yes, ma'am. Leviticus chapter 23. And pick it back up where we left off at. Because like I said, a wave offering is the power of.
I was at Leviticus and the last verse was 10. I'm at 11.
Yeah, you had 11. Okay. No, read that 10 again because it calls on the first fruits. Read that.
Leviticus 23:10 reads,
mm-hmm.
Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of harvest unto the priest. And he shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall weigh it.
That brings us right into, right there, Matthew chapter 28 and 1 and John 20 and 1. Why? Because he rose on a, he said on the first day, I mean at the end of the Sabbath, they went to the temple, tomb, he wasn't there. Mary, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, now it was while it was yet dark, same conversation, but it's the first day of the week now. There it is, the morrow after the Sabbath, during the week of unleavened bread. We cannot wave the wave offering outside of the week of unleavened bread because he's the unleavened bread.
That's right. Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Skip down to verse 14 and continue.
Leviticus 23 and 14 reads, and ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings.
Continue.
And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete.
There you go. That's how you get the Pentecost. So now we there. That's what I'm talking about. The wave offering is the power of the Pentecost. That's why he said the firstborn of many brethren. Here come the brethren right here in verse 15. This is those that come up in the first resurrection. If there's no wave offering, there's no 15. So how are we going to miss this memo in this Leviticus chapter 23? Who get to supersede this conversation when he said it's a holy gathering? Who get to usurp authority over this and say, you ain't got no high priest? Well, who is Melchizedek and who is Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 7 and 8 and 9 and 10? And when he's talking about these things, he's Christ and he's this, he's the priest, by oath, he's a priest. And now we're saying, no, he ain't. Shalom, sis. How you doing, Sister Table? Tyler Table. Amen. Continue.
Amen. Verse 16.
Yes, ma'am.
Leviticus 23. And
this how you know it's us, too. This how you know that this is talking about us. Because the wave offering couldn't be accepted with leaven in it because that's during the week of unleavened. So that's a no-brainer. You're not going to eat leaven with the wave offering.
That's right.
Read on.
Leviticus 23 and verse 16 reads,
uh-huh.
Even until the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord.
Yes, ma'am.
Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth fields. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
Double the first resurrection. Uh-huh. Now we see the wave offering kick this off. But this got leavening in us.
Right.
Why? Because he said, there's no man that doeth good that sinneth not. So there it is. There he is. There he is in the midst. You see, so there he is. He's bringing us in. You know, God willing, we live, we come up in the first resurrection. There it is. Right? Okay, let's go back to that John,
okay.
Chapter 20 and verse 1.
John 21.
Yes, ma'am.
John 21 reads, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre.
Okay, they go to wave offering, so we got this established. Let's pick it back up where he said, touch me not. Okay, skip down to verse 15.
Yes,
yes ma'am. Well, 14.
Okay, 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him,
Rabboni, which is to say master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.
There it is. So we read that. We read that in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, right?
Amen.
And it said, no man in heaven or in the earth or under the earth. So where was he? He was on his way. Then he came and took the book. And so he sat down right then and there on the right hand of God. All the angels of heaven worshiped him. The Lord, the Father kissed him, anointed him priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, right? But remember now, Mary is on her way to tell the disciples these things, right? So all this is taking place between this time window, which give you a glance at eternity. It give you a glance at the time window of eternity. Watch this. Read on.
Amen. Verse 18.
Yes, ma'am.
Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week.
Still a wave offering. Continue. The same day at evening. The day hasn't rose yet. It's still the same day at evening. And look who shows up on the wave offering. Continue.
When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews,
uh-huh.
came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you.
Amen.
And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord.
Amen.
Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
This is a big thing, man. See, we miss all of this. If we're not keeping the wave offering, it's a chance we miss the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
It's a chance that we never receive it. Maybe that's why our attitudes and our characters are such as what they are.
Come on now.
You know, maybe that's why Israel is so funky, because we don't believe in it. How can we go this feast week and be calling people reprobate? This person is this. Y'all wrong. Y'all this. Y'all that. Instead of just saying, I hope God have mercy on all of us.
Right.
Because I sure as hell don't know what God got in store for me or my sins. Mm. So the last thing I want to do is point out yours.
Especially during
the week of unleavened bread.
Ooh,
are we listening? What is going on with the church and the people? Did we forget this is the week of unleavened bread? Did we forget that he said, don't take the Passover with malice and wickedness. Don't take the Passover with hatred in your heart. How can you say you love God and hate your neighbor?
Come on now.
How can you say you love God and say you're born again?
Come on now.
You lying to yourself in the God. Because it's not in you to love one another. Maybe because we have not received the sacrifice or the wave offering that the Holy Ghost have not been yet a minister unto us. Because he breathed on us, the Holy Ghost, here.
Amen.
Here. So there's a lot come with that. You know what I mean?
Amen.
There's a lot come with that wave offering. It ain't just... You know, I ain't out here doctoring, trying to drown people. I'm just trying to get people to understand, hey, man, this feast ain't just to be looked at like something you just throw in your corner,
right.
You know, like you take off your clothes, you know, like we do on the atonement. Whew, got that fast over with. Yep, let me go put on the flesh. And God show us how to walk before him in holiness and righteousness, right? And one day. How we can walk before him all year.
Wow.
And here we are, during the week unleavened bread, casting stones at each other. Right? Once again,
amen.
For years I had issues with that because I was in a place that wasn't teaching the wave offering, so I missed that memo. That Matthew 28 and 1 and John 20 and 1, always was like this thing that was in my head. this is not a misprint. This is not a misprint. Something is to this. And then when it got to the point that I had to count the Feast of Weeks, and I went to the law, the God of Israel took those things off my eyes and said, it's the wave offering. I was able to see it. And praise God for the Spirit, you know. So, with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. I'm hoping and praying everybody had a beautiful feast week. A beautiful feast week. You know how we get with them Ebonics, beautiful. I got it bad, man. It almost made my lips feel like they. Anyway, beautiful week.
Amen.
Full of rest.
Full
of faith. And full of peace.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, to people around you, but within us. Right? With that being said, you'll find this week a lot, the enemy is really going to try you. But you got to find peace within yourself. Not
That's
to let
right.
it happen. Hey, Jay. Shalom, Mr.
Right.
Light. Just
right.
talking about you today. We gotta keep the feast with salvation. We got to keep it. Amen. Amen. We got to keep that feast. So with that being said, let's wrap it up. And Matthew. Go to Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 1.
Amen.
And we're going to seal this whole wave offering message off with that. Matthew's 23 and 1 says, we want to quote the priest. Look what the priest said. Grand rising is your light, likewise.
Amen. Leviticus 23 and 1 reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation.
Get around that.
Even these are my feasts.
Get around it. Get around it. Tell me again why we ain't keeping a wave offering after reading that. That's the first scripture in Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to get that wrong. And then justify it. You know, okay. To each his own. Like I said, man, tonight is the wave offering. Tonight, we're going to celebrate that feast.
Amen.
And we're going to celebrate. We're going to eat, and we're going to eat a lot.
Amen.
We're going to barbecue. And we're going to cue a lot.
Amen.
Right. So with that being said, thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters,
read your Bibles.
Please read your Bibles, man.
Amen.
Genesis and Revelations. Man.
Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.